Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
We're continuing on in Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about the theme of Matthew being Jesus being the king, and he's king, and the kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. Some places it's called the kingdom of the heavens, and some places it's called the kingdom of heaven. And then the next chapter, Mark will be talking about how Jesus came as a servant, and that we are going to learn his way by becoming servants to others, not being bosses over other people, but by serving people. And one of the things that we serve them is the truth. And we serve them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through me, Jesus said. So we're in Matthew chapter 5. And what were you thinking about, Andy? You had something you were going to say in the last radio show.
Oh, in chapter 5, verse 21, Jesus starts talking about some of these judgments. And he says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment." Now, there you go. Just being angry with your brother is going to get you into this judgment thing. Over here it says murder. Over here it says angry. Murder, angry. Murder. Yeah. "And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council." And what does Raca mean?
I think it means spiritually empty.
If you say somebody's spiritually empty, and then shall be in danger of the council. So that so judgment, it shows that judgment goes up. For each thing, judgment can get more and more things. And but whoever says you fool will be in danger of Gehenna fire, or my translation says hellfire. So when you say somebody is you fool, that means you don't have the ability to even hear or learn or change your mind. That's saying something really bad about someone. And he says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and they remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." So he's saying, get right with your brother before you kind of come get right with me. "Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge to the officer, and you're thrown into prison." Try to get along with people. He's given some pretty basic rules that if our society did this little list of rules, it would be a wonderful society. This is very, and Jesus, this is about 2 inches of Jesus talking on a page. "Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you've paid the last penny." He's showing people a glimpse of how to be righteous and to make decisions. Judgments make decisions, the right decisions.
In America, I know in New Mexico, murders are through the roof. What's it like here in Portland? What's the murder rate?
I stopped looking.
Was it really going up?
It was up. Yeah, I mean,
It's through the roof.
I don't have a number for you, but it's enough to where my wife and I are very mindful of, you know, the children's future on what we need to explain to them as they're growing up and probably what to expect.
It's nothing like the 1950s.
Right.
And there were places where maybe be a murder, some towns once a month, and now it's once a week. Some places used to be once a week. Now it's daily. Now it's multiple daily today. In the last days, perilous times will come.
Something that got brought up, and I wanted to touch on it, is in the Old Testament, over in Isaiah 11, it talked about, it's pointing at Jesus, and it says here in Isaiah 11, then a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And it says the Spirit, and this is, of course, talking about Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And the part that really stuck out there is when we were talking about, you know, Jesus and decisions and judgments and things like that. It says here that he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor. And if you go into the New Testament, we know that Jesus never spoke on his own. He only spoke what the Father told him to say. And so here we're looking at these things that were given, and they're showing here's a judgment on it. You know, here's what the scriptures say, and he exposes the heart of it and showing really what those judgments look like. Like, for example, we're talking about robbing a brother's joy is the equivalent of murder. So that's not like a service level type thing. You know, it's you have to be able to look at these things, and Jesus he'll expose those, the heart of the matter. And you get to see what God's judgment is concerning these things, especially when it comes down to the Ten Commandments that the religious leaders at the time will say, and even today, I don't do these things, but he'll go, well, if you do them in your heart, it's the same. So we get exposed to really God's judgments on these things, and you see Jesus doing that.
So why does a person say something angry back to his brother? Is because the brother hurt their feelings, and it's a retribution. And it says if you're angry, and then you become angry, and then maybe that other person said something not knowing it. Maybe it was just an innocent comment. You really didn't understand it. So you give retribution for it. You pay him back because now you're angry. Well, you've just committed murder. And robbed his joy. And he was actually innocent. It was maybe a slip of the tongue, something maybe you didn't even understand, but you broke the law. So Jesus is talking about how your attitude to your brother, you can commit murder. I like to skip down here too, but look at 43. Somebody read 43 through 48 is another context about loving even your enemies.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
The word perfect is mature.
Mature, yeah.
You're to grow up. You know, kids act like kids. Now that we're men, a lot of men still act like kids. Men have a harder time growing up. I think we all know that. So what stood out to you, Steve, as you read that?
Well, going along with what we previously read, that in verse 45, it talks about being sons of your Father. And so a son of God would do along these lines of loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you, which is not a natural thing that you would do. So this is something that you're going to do because you're looking more like your Father.
And where is the Father situated? Where is this location?
In the heavens.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Here it is again.
Yeah.
You don't really notice this until what Ivan Panin wrote about the main themes. This is about the kingdom of heaven coming down to earth, and it's being so different than our laws, such a different kingdom than our kingdom that we live in. It's full of righteousness, peace, and joy. And that, isn't it interesting, your Father who is in heaven, how that's so common in here. And then we'll see servitude when we get to Mark. We'll see that 40 times about how we do things immediately. And I think even 11 times, wasn't it, in the
within
first
the
verse?
Within the first chapter. There's 11 times in the first chapter.
That word about doing things immediately. So now we're learning the attitude. We're not ready to wait on tables yet. We're kind of going to waiting school, and we're getting the attitude. We're getting the right way of thinking, and then we'll go wait on tables. And I believe that God allows us a period of time when we become a young child of God, some people call it Christian. Bible calls it his children or his sons. Once he calls it his daughter, but again, he doesn't distinguish between girl and boy. They're equal. We're to treat our wife as a joint heir. If we don't, our prayers are cut off from God. If we're a respecter person with our wife and try to bully him, that's a sin. And God will actually cut our prayers off. He says he does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. So what is it saying that we are if we treat our wives
Some of the translations try to soften that up a little. They say hinder.
Yeah.
Hinder your prayers. No, cut off.
Cut off.
Just, that's a square cut on it.
It is. Cut them off. Oh, and I like the next context. Somebody want to read? It's that one verser. You know, one versers, that's a full thought, are sometimes very powerful. And it's chapter 6, verse 1.
Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven.
If you do anything and you do it to be seen, to act
to get men's
approval, you just negated it.
Right, and it's not like you're going out saying, hey, I'm going to do this to be seen of men. It can be like you're doing it in your heart. The intent of the heart behind that is whatever you're doing.
So basically, if you're trying to be sneaky with it, God knows.
He knows. He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Right. It's.
But read verse 1. And what word do you see in there at the end? The last two words.
In the heavens.
Yeah. This is God's rules that apply in heaven. They're being brought down to here that we can. There's three new laws in the New Testament. The first one we find is the law of faith in Romans chapter 3. And then you'll find in Romans chapter 8, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Since we're talking about laws, In other words, God could keep us so high above all these other things where we're murdering each other and adultery and so on, that he can keep us above those. And then the last one is James 1, the mature law of liberty. And that's that word teleion, that a lot of translations say God is perfect, and we're to be perfect. That's teleion, it means to be mature, grow up to be like dad. And our dad happens to be a perfect dad, but that's not the word. This word perfect actually means mature, be mature like God the Father. There's other words that show he's perfect that are actually even beyond that. Like he's a majestic, the majestic one. How can you get above that one? That's a pretty high, that's an exalted standard for God.
Now, the Panon's Bible says this verse differently. I'll read this. The words are different. But take heed to do not your righteousness before men, to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in the heavens. Now, that's a whole lot different than charitable deeds.
Yeah.
Look how righteous I am, and you're not.
And he's got the heavens in the plural.
Yes. Every time that we've said it today, it's been in the plural.
In Panon's.
Every time.
And so God is, there's first, second, third heaven. Seventh heaven is man made by other religions. It could be even demonic. It's not in the Bible. It's third heaven is called paradise. I knew a man who one time, Paul is saying this. He's probably talking about himself, but he didn't want to give glory to himself. But he was caught up to a third heaven, and then later on he calls it paradise.
And I'm reverting back to Dan from Bakersfield from 3 weeks ago that goes, Andy, that's heavens. Okay, thanks, Dan. No detail.
a newer guy corrected us again. Isn't that great?
Seriously. Oh, I'm like, yeah, it is.
He's a stickler for precision.
He used this Panon's book on me.
Good.
That was good.
Well, a teacher must be teachable, right? And you got to keep learning. Isn't it exciting to keep learning, though? And because if you stay on something that's wrong, you're going to stack other wrong stuff on top of it. You want to get rid of, as soon as you hear it, it's time. As soon as you hear it, it's time to acknowledge it and move it out of your what you say and adopt what is truth and build on that. It's like taking away a brick that's faulty. You don't want to keep building more and more on that particular brick. You want to clear it out, and all of us do. So I've been doing this for 52 years, and I think I have to keep repenting every day when I learn, because there's just so much more to learn.
You know, in 3 weeks, I bet I've told the Dan story 10 times. I'm trying to make a point when I say it.
You've changed your mind?
No, that this is what it really says. And Dan told me, and he's a new guy, and he pointed that out to me. And people go like, Dan told him, he pointed out. I don't know if they've got it. I said, no, it's an S on it. Read, go to the Panon's.
Let's see, where did we want to go next on this about prayer? Let's see. We want to get into chapter 7. And let's read 1 through 12. We can go back here a little bit if we want to, but I want to get into our attitude now that we know this is the kingdom of the heavens in the plural, and our attitude, what we should be doing to seek this whole thing out. 1 through 12, please.
Okay. Matthew 7, 1 through 12. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets.
So here's the verse, we finally read it, that seems to be really famous in the Christian circles about, do not judge, that you will not be judged. And this type of judgment is a person becoming judgmental of a brother who has a smaller problem than you have, is what this is talking about. This is like the condemning judge. It's the same word, but it's a word that you, if you watch all the different places it's used, sometimes you take a boat, sometimes you swim, you know, you make a judgment. But this time, it's when you are looking down on somebody and actually you are a worse criminal than the other person. And it says you will be judged for that. The main part, I was thinking about this, that is going to help a new person that's new to the Lord, getting to know the Lord. It goes on, in my Bible, it talks about prayer and the golden rule. I don't know where some of these titles come from. But ignoring that, it's three things that we must do. And it's ask, seek, and knock. And then one time I was reading a version of the Bible called the Christian Standard Bible or Christian Bible, and they had a lot of really bad translations in it, but it translated, what does Panin say on this one? Andy Panin.
Look at this note in here in the New King James. Do you believe that?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that was there until right now.
Oh. Well, in the Panin, what does Panin say? Even Panin's, who is really the best that's corrected us on heavens versus heaven, and he's generally right. He's Einstein's math teacher. Of course, he passed away in 1943. What does it say, Andy? Verse 7 and 8.
Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you.
Well, in this Christian Standard Bible, which was wrong most of the time, it said, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep seeking, and you will find, and keep knocking, and it will be opened unto you. Well, the words ask, seek, and knock are in the present tense, so it means you just keep doing it. You keep doing it. And you keep doing it.
In the active voice to keep doing it.
Yes. Ask, seek, and knock. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it shall be opened. And it says, what manner of man, if you ask for a loaf, God will give you a stone. And it says, you have not because you don't do what?
Ask not.
You don't ask. So you don't have it. Now, we want to get into these parables. And the first parable is, this is where we are really headed. It's been a while to get to this point, but it's been interesting reading all these verses because it's often talking about all these are relating how God, who is in the heavens, that Jesus is the King. He knows what's best for us. Oh, by the way, we find out later on in the book of John that he's the creator. Jesus is the creator, and he's the king. And his kingdom has now come back down to earth, but it's in us. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is now in us. It's not visible to everybody. But so let's read this first parable about what how we get in, how we enter into the kingdom of heaven, the heavens.
13 and 14?
Yep.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the way and broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Now, if you read this, you don't know that it's talking about entering into God's
kingdom.
His kingdom, his temple. And there are three rooms in the temple. There were actually three different doors to get in there. The first was called the gate, and it was a different Hebrew word. The next one was called a screen to go into the holy place, and the next one was called the veil. And what part was torn top to bottom when Jesus died? The veil. The veil, into the actually the holiest of holies, where God's throne is, where he sits. And what's the name of the seat that sits above? He sits on the Ark of the Covenant, and what's the name of that seat?
The mercy seat.
Oh, the mercy seat. It doesn't sound like, it's also called the judgment seat, but it's called the mercy seat. And our goal is, of course, to get there. And so what did you learn about this, Steve? What do you know so far?
Well, that this gate is, it's narrow, and there's only two real groupings of, you're either on this way or you're not. And there's few that find this this gate that is small and the way that's narrow. So few people find this. And putting the scripture that we read before this, if you're finding this, that you would have had to have been asking or seeking for this to be able to find this.
And what is the most important part of it? Where does it go to in verse 14?
To life, leads to life.
It leads to life. And we can go other places, and we're talking eternal life, life eternal. It doesn't say one place where God abides in eternity. So when you get to God, it is eternal life. Anything else you saw?
If you're told to enter it, you have not yet done it.
Yes, if God is telling you to do that.
Yes, he's telling you to enter something that you haven't been into yet.
And by the way, it's so narrow. A man of God told us years ago, a Jewish fellow told us, that it's so small you got to take, and we're not being like we're nudists here, but you've got to take off all your clothes. You can't take any of your self-righteousness with you. It's nothing you do. You go in alone. You take nothing with you, and you enter into a whole different kingdom. And here again, what's the main thrust of this whole thing? It's talking about the kingdom of the heavens, and Jesus is the king. You're going before him, and this all fits. You'll find out this always fits that main theme of Matthew, the kingdom of heavens, and Jesus leads us into it. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."